Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Where will the next major content maker show up for television? One answer, the venture in today's spotlight, bent on launching a variety of smart TV offered services. Exposure TV Network is that venture, and overseer Tan Lawrence joins me next from Chicago. Also ahead, a Nick Fury for Disney Plus, our classic trivia question, and 2021, the made-for-TV movie comeback. That's our takeaway of the week. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and presented on Amazon Music and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised, brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Great to have you aboard this Friday afternoon for the program all about TV's current and future. 77 degrees, top of the hour here in New York. A beautiful day heading into the weekend. A weekend that, in part, will have many, many Jews from around the world celebrate Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And if you are one of those folks, we wish you a very safe and easy fast during that period that starts Sunday night and lasts into Monday. Got a wonderful guest for you in the hour ahead, and we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Pick up the phone. Dial this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country and around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio. Shy about the phone, no problem. Use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name, and you will find that at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. So use the phone or the room, either way, you're on. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio speaker to the screen, follow the instructions, and other people live with you. Tan Lawrence from Exposure TV Network, live with us in the Windy City, Chicago, Illinois. She's next after these news notes. Variety reports this afternoon that Samuel L. Jackson will take one of his notable movie roles, Nick Fury, the IMAX leader of S.H.I.E.L.D., to television. Disney Plus is all set to pull together a Nick Fury series for Marvel Studios, starring Jackson and developed by former Mr. Robot executive producer and writer Kyle Bradstreet. FYI, this will be Jackson's first ever TV series. At the moment, Disney Plus, Jackson, etc. have not confirmed the existence of this series. And one quickie for you, Alex Rider, the first original scripted series from Amazon's ad-supported service IMBD.TV, will debut on November 13th. And that is news notes for today. And now joining us live in Air Radio System of Chicago, Illinois, the founder and overseer of Exposure TV Network, Tan Lawrence. Tan, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Very, very fine, thank you. And thank you again for coming aboard. Tell us what Exposure is all about.
Well, Exposure, it started as an advocacy media group. And what that means is that we look at societal issues and we try and case it, and then we represent it as journalists by trying to find a solution. And so we're very much so solution-based orientated. I started the publication, I started Exposure Magazine 7 years ago. And then on October 2019, we launched Exposure TV Network, which is amazing. And during COVID-19, my whole entire business plan just blew up in front of me. Like, literally, I thought it was going to be where we go out to film festivals and put content on it, you know, from that aspect. But it left us with a piece. It left us with a part where we had to figure it out. We had to go in and figure out what we were going to do. And so I stayed true to my advocacy piece and decided to allow just everyday people who were creating content about their products, their services, or even web series to come on the channel and be able to not only stream their content, but stream income.
It sounds like what you're advocating now, Tam, is to have these entrepreneurs launch individual channels, much in the same way that we're now seeing packagers like Cinedigm, like Jukin Media, and others come up with an assortment of channels that they will then try to encourage carriage on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. Is that pretty much the case with Exposure?
Well, it's kind of different. So this is the case is that I looked at Uber system, right? And I looked at Airbnb. And those products have the ability to help people make money in a crisis, right? So I wanted to take the network and be able to help anybody with a cell phone that can create content in video MP4 format and be able to stream that content on the network and wrap commercial advertisement and help small businesses within their community to thrive using the system. They're in 160 million households. We're in the United Kingdom, United States, Canada, as well as Africa. We actually have representatives that are in Africa selling parts of the network there as well.
And how many entrepreneurs are involved creating content for the service or services?
So far, you know, Abubom, I got to say it started out slow because we did try to go after disadvantaged businesses and those businesses that may have some issues in terms of funding. And so when we did that, that meant we had to really educate people. So we're probably a little over 32 entrepreneurs right now, and we're still taking them through the process to understand what is streaming, you know. It's a very foreign situation, just like Zoom was up until, the pandemic, you know. So people are still learning that traditional television is going to change. It's changing the trajectory of traditional television and helping people to first understand the product that they have in their hands.
Mm-hmm. As you said, this is an ad-supported venture. How are you doing getting ad support to make sure that the venture is profitable and can expand?
Well, in our system, we have a third-party ad. They actually regulate the network, do our analytics, and they provide us with the quantitative measures each month. And they seek out the advertisement dollars for us. So we don't handle that part of it. We try to just handle and maintain the streaming, the servers, and the application. Like we're in the middle of an upgrade right now with all of the platforms. So for us, you know, working with the magazine for 7 years, we've been able to bring over 87,000 subscribers. So that kind of gave us that leverage that we needed, because you do need to have subscribers and viewership in order for you to get advertisement dollars. So I just went back into, you know, some of the businesses that I have and utilized that as a way to get people to sign up.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of the platforms you're on, I know you're on Roku, you're on Amazon Fire TV, and you're on Apple TV. How are they accepting what you're doing? And are you coming close to getting on smart TV sets, smart TV sets like Samsung, LG, et cetera, as well as Google Chromecast, NVIDIA Shield, Portal TV from Facebook, the other smart TV products?
Well, right now, we are trying to focus in on the premier products that are out there. Roku is number one in terms of users. So we want to stay focused on Roku, Apple. They have a different type of clientele. The average consumer on the Apple is a six-figure earner, a college graduate. So we're trying to go into that wonderful space right there. Google and those other forms, I got to say to people, Facebook has lost a lot of value in a sense, because the consumer is one that spends an average of $50 on a product on Facebook versus having consumers that are coming from Apple who spend $3,000 on the computer. You know, so you have to look at the consumer. Our target audience is really the premier product.
Tammy Lawrence is with us this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. She is the founder and overseer of Exposure TV Network, one of the newest smart TV programming services. Been around for about a year, and it is, considering what's going on, it is one of the newer ones that are popping up, and it's available on Roku, Apple TV, and Amazon Fire TV, with other platforms maybe to come down the road. Tam Roark joins us live from Chicago, the Windy City, and we're delighted to have her this half hour. As I said, on tomorrow will be televised. Tom Hattabout with you live from New York, 77 degrees at the top of the hour, and we want to hear from you. So give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We have two episodes coming your way next week, Tuesday and Friday. We're not with you on Monday when we usually are, because it is Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, so I will be marking that occasion. But we'll be with you on Tuesday. We got a big 9-minute show for you. First up, another smart TV programming service, one that deals with the great outdoors and adventure and puts them all together. It's called Edge TV. You'll hear from the president, Ian Woods. And then we'll talk about diversity in television with an organization called Representative Counts, or Representation Counts, I should say. And they're an organization that's trying to advocate more diversity, not only for television, but for all entertainment media. You'll hear from the founder of that organization. Her name is Shireen Annis. And finally, there's a new service for Cinedigm. I mentioned Cinedigm earlier in the program. They got a brand new service at launch this week called Short Channel, short subjects from all over the world. It's in conjunction with a company called ArtPop. And we will feature the founder and chief executive officer of that service. Her name is Paige Williams. It's all coming up Tuesday, regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here. On tomorrow will be televised. How are you vetting the people that want to use your service to make sure they're on the level and they have content that they want to present?
Oh, my gosh. That is a process. So we really go through social media accounts. We do every handle we could possibly find out there. We look at the resume, and then we ask for them to provide us with a small business plan. What is the execution? We want to know what type of device that they're shooting from. You know, iPhone shoots with a Magic or a Red. So it's really unique process, but we do vet each person as they come into it. We're not really into anything that's related to drugs, guns, violence. We're not accepting that type of content. We want to screen out positive content to negate the negative that's out there.
The content entrepreneurs that you're working with, I put together, looking at your website, a list of projects that they're doing: Author Channel, BFF Playdate, Broadway Empire, Family Matters, Home Shopping Channel, Onyx Channel, Soar Channel, Whole Living Channel, The Shift, Top TV Channel, Uniquely Designed. It sounds like many of these entrepreneurs ultimately want to take their single programs or their parent programs that they're launching on your network, and they want to develop their own network. Is that a fair statement, that you're working with people that ultimately want to take their work and expand into a linear channel or a 24-hour service?
You know, we really have a family at Exposure TV. So I believe that most people want to see the network grow as a CBS or BET. Not many look at it that way, because we don't limit people in terms of space. We don't limit, we collect no rights to their content. They keep 100% of all ad dollars that they make. We don't make any ad dollars from anything that any of the streamers actually provide. So if you're a channel owner, you keep 100% of your ad dollars. We want to see people become successful and create generational wealth.
Well, on the flip side of the coin, Tam, are you starting to hear from entrepreneurs who are coming to you and say, well, I would like to use your service as, let's say, an incubator or a pilot place to test out a network concept?
You know what? I haven't had that, because we offer so much freedom to people. But if I did get that, it would be welcoming. You know, I'm always open to suggestions. There's no obligation to anybody. They could, you know, leave the network tomorrow. But I don't think that any of the channels actually feel that way. And one of my favorite, if I could say, is Uniquely Designed. You know, I really love the fact that we've been able to tap into the disabled community So you will see people, initially designed as actually a disabled woman who is amazing, and she's talking to her audience of people who are disabled. And so you never see that in television, you know. So we offer opportunities to people that you probably would never see on mainstream television because they can't see the vision that I see. So I believe that I offer people something that I offer them 16 years as a publicist, but more than importantly, a home. And I think that that's what people were looking for. Where can I house my content and not have to worry about the business aspect of it or the tech aspect of it? Because it does take some tech skills to be able to encode the content to put it on the smart TV devices. And as a coder, I think maybe 16 hours a week just dealing with coding.
Talk about the programming you have on your network. Is it all unscripted? Is it a mix of scripted and unscripted? Talk about some of the shows you're carrying.
Right now, I got to say this, is that when you give people 100% of their rights to their content, we don't get involved in the production side of it. So you can look at us like a GoDaddy. You know, a channel is pretty much your domain. And then you have a hosting account. So we're really just their utility company. We provide them with a utility, which is the streaming services. And in order for us not to get into, contractual problems, we just want to make sure that people create 100% of their own content without creative exposure from us.
Yeah. I was just wondering, Tan, if the content is, in terms of formatting, so our listeners know, like, what kind of content or what some of the topics are. I mean, is it unscripted? Is it talk variety? Is it show? That kind of thing. That's what we're talking about. But it's interesting you bring up the GoDaddy, sort of a metaphor for what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. And so let me just explain. Yes, there is everything from the Home Shop Network channel, which is kind of like a QVC moment. We have an author's channel, which is book authors from all over the country. They come together, and they do their marketing, and some people do book reviews and things of that nature. So it's a variety of content, but based on the name of the channel, Whole Living Channel, which is Tracy Randolph, her channel is just about health lifestyle, so it's a healthy lifestyle channel. The Onyx channel is about elite lifestyle and their Black experience. These are things that I think that really people are redistricting their eyeballs and their ears. You know, we've had enough of social media and the propaganda and the fear, the push of fear, which is all over the news. And so I believe that people are looking for content that would inspire, empower, and create a more healthier lifestyle for people. So that's kind of that's what we look for.
So the overall tone of exposure is it's empowerment, and whether it's scripted or unscripted,
exactly.
That's the whole idea of the channel. Are you getting a lot of, given the fact, Tam, that we have an incredible explosion of people who want to do scripted content all over the place, the formation of production companies, the effort by TV festivals and film festivals to now showcase TV series pilots, are you getting a lot of activity from people who want to do dramatic series, comedies, science fiction, fantasy, genre shows on your network?
You know what, Alphabom, I got to say, I may feel like I'm the little dog in this big race, right? Because they're looking for Netflix and Hulu and some of the other bigger streaming platforms that actually pay for production. And so I would advise them to go that route and talk to a content aggregator first. And if you don't have that, you have the ability to do product placement and advertisement, I would say come to me second. But try your luck at everything else first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exposure TV Network, incidentally, has got a very interesting festival project that they're working on. We're going to talk about that next with our guest, Tam Lawrence. She is the founder and the overseer of Exposure TV Network, currently available on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire TV. We're happy to have you with us. Pat and myself, on Toronto Televised. Thanks for tuning us in this Friday afternoon, the 25th of September, 2020. Signing out with you live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tuner Radio. We're also on podcast now on Amazon Music and, of course, the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. If you have a question or comment on meeting minutes with Tim, ring it in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Originally on today's program, we were supposed to have Anthony Jones. She's a veteran of the talk show awards in syndicated TV. She's now working with Steve Harvey as the executive producer of his Facebook Watch series, Steve on Watch, now in season 2, just got renewed for season 3. Unfortunately, Anthony had an emergency come up. She will be with us a week from today. So Anthony Jones from Steve Harvey, from Steve on Watch on Facebook Watch, she will be with us next Friday at a regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. You have something very ambitious for exposure, Tam, coming up. It's a film festival. Tell us about that.
Awesome. So the film festival was a humanitarian project for me to gather films, people, I would say, of all walks of life, to talk about the responsibility that we have to create content that heals rather than fails. And I know that that's kind of a, contradicted in being in the film industry, but at the end of the day, we have to start, it deals with the racial tension in this country, and we need to start that dialogue. But in order for people to understand a population of people, I believe wholeheartedly we have to look through a lens. And so through the lens of these producers, they've been able to put together docuseries, short films, long pieces as well that show exactly what happens in the African-American community, the Latino community. So it's a very diverse platform of some amazing people who have put good content together to show their life experience. And then after that, we're going to have some talk back and dialogue about how we can heal in America. How can we get past all that is going on right now? Because I believe wholeheartedly, not to be against Black Lives Matter, but I believe all lives matter.
Hey, it's great to hear you say that, because in some quarters, the idea of all lives matter. By all lives, I mean people of all different backgrounds, whether it's African American, Latino, Asian American, Indigenous peoples, Native American, gay, et cetera. It comes across as a dirty phrase. And it's time to cut that out, by the way, personal thought. Bottom line, not Blog Talk Radio, et cetera, but personal thought, we got to bring the all lives matter back and not just Black Lives Matter, because all lives do matter, including in the world of television. When is this festival going to take place? And will you invite either TV series makers or wannabe TV series makers or pilot makers or web makers to be part of the festival?
Oh, for sure. For sure. We are looking for web series, individuals that have content in the can. It's time to open it up. Let's have that conversation. We kick the festival off October 22nd with the president of Cold Black Films, and then we're going to continue on, and the actual festival itself will start December 18th to the 19th. So all of the content related to the festival will run on our channels and on also our website as well. So we're going to have a great time getting to December 19th.
Here we are, Tam, at the first year of a new decade. Where do you want to see this network be, let's say, halfway through this decade or at the end of the decade? Where do you want exposure to be? How big do you want it to be?
Oh, my God, I love manifestation conversations. And so I see this thing going beyond my own understanding, and we will one day compete with the Viacoms, the BETs. I believe that we have the ability to transpire into something unknown to man. And I believe that this is going to be that bridge that will create financial liquidity for people. So I'm really excited about the future. We're going to host amazing events along the way, but I think that we're going to be prosperous. I really truly believe that.
The project is Exposure TV Network. You can currently find it on Amazon Fire TV, also on Apple TV, and on Roku, which, by the way, is not just the the device, but also TV sets that have the Roku operating system. If you want more details about the network and its content, just read it online, ExposureTVNetwork.com. That's ExposureTVNetwork, all one phrase, .com. And as you just heard, the first ever film festival of the service will kick off with a special event next month and then full blast in December. Once again, ExposureTVNetwork.com. Tam Lawrence, the founder and overseer of Exposure TV Network, thank you again for joining us. All the very best with your service. We'd love to come back down the road and hear what's happening, and hopefully your service may be a jump-off point for, as I said, the next generation of TV series, TV content makers.
Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Hopefully, Applebaum will get you to come on over and start a show on the channel. On the network. I definitely would love to have that.
Yeah. I'll tell you, one thing we've been looking at for a while, Pam, is to simulcast our show. Back in 2014-15, we were actually carried live on what at that time was called Brooklyn Independent Media, now Brick TV. It's a cable channel available in most of the New York area, originating in Brooklyn near the Barclays Center. We had a great time doing it for a year and a half, and then we did segments on BK Live, the former news, local Emmy-winning news magazine. So if there's any way that maybe we can do a simulcast again, love to do it.
Awesome. Well, let's look into it. You know, I would love to just grace you with a channel on our platform, because we need to diversify it. We need people to come in like you. We met on the Roland Martin press conference, and I thought that was really amazing, the questions that you had to ask Tim, and I think we can answer that together.
I got that, Sam. Thank you so much for that. Yes, that was a great time with Roland, and we've had him on the show. He's always terrific. He always has something to say regarding diversity on television, how it can be better or how it can be greater. And let's make it happen. I'm game for it. I'm up for it. And Tam, again, pleasure to have you on. Thank you for the thoughts. Really appreciate it.
For having me today. Have a great weekend.
You too. All the greatest to you, Tam. Take care. All the greatest.
All right. Bye-bye.
Tam Lawrence, founder and overseer of Exposure TV Network, joining us live from the Windy City, Chicago, Illinois. More tomorrow, we tell you about our classic trivia question coming your way, also our takeaway of the week. But first, some words to the fine folks at Audible.com. Are you in the mood this weekend for some great science fiction and fantasy? Well, one of the big up-and-coming authors on the scene is Brandon Sanderson, and he's got a new audiobook that you can get right now with a trial run of Audible.com. It's called Oathbringer, and it's a mix of great fantasy, genre, incredible stuff happening, and the wonderment that only comes from hearing great science fiction and fantasy. And like I said, that could be the book that you get into by a trial run, a one-month run, with Audible.com. In case you don't know, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and yes, inspiration for sure. Over 200,000 titles to choose from in their catalog, and you can listen on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, Tuner Radio, Amazon Music, and iHeartRadio. Remember, if you sign up at audibletrial.com/televised, audibletrial.com/televised, you get one free audiobook, you get for a limited time only free health and wealth material. It could make a big difference in your life for someone you know, and that one-month trial with great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. And get this, if you're already an Amazon Prime member, you make that two audiobooks, not one, two audiobooks. And incidentally, inside that 200,000 catalog is the growing catalog of Audible Originals. That's everything from original audio productions, the best of Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional theater, great book adaptations, and one woman and one man performances. So how about making this weekend the weekend that you or someone you love discover that Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world? Remember, if you're already an Amazon Prime member, two audiobooks for the trial membership of one. One-month trial, it's great for you. Makes a great gift for you or someone you love, too. Remember, it's audibletrial.com/televised. audibletrial.com/televised. This is Tomorrow We're Televised. We're going to talk all about this, too. Coming up for our next half hour, our Classic Trivia Question of the Week, and our takeaway of the week. We think that 2021 could be the comeback year in a huge way for the made-for-television movie people. Tell you why, happy pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You're connected to the best internet radio in the galaxy. That's www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, tuneinradio.com, or tunein.com. Altogether, they reach over 50 million listeners around the world every month and growing. We're also coming your way on Amazon Music, joining more than 70,000 other outstanding podcast programs and specials and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Don't forget, TuneIn Radio is your home for the Coronavirus News Channel 24/7 to get the latest updates on this pandemic and what is happening with it all over the world, original podcasts, and other special programming as well. Coronavirus News Channel 24/7, TuneIn Radio at TuneIn.com. Welcome back to Marvin Televised. I'm Alan with you on this Friday afternoon. Happy you're aboard. Beautiful day outside here in the Big Apple area. 77 degrees at the top of the hour. We have our classic trivia question coming up, and we have our takeaway of the week about next year being a big comeback for made-for-TV movies. First, let's get to the classic trivia question. We still have it. We've been offering it since a week ago Monday. And if you're first with the correct answer, you will win a pair of prizes, a wonderful book called Becoming Ginger Rogers, How Ballroom Dancing Made Me a Happier Woman, Better Partner, and Smarter Chief Executive Officer by Patrice Tanaka, published by Ben Bella. And a trio of episodes from the popular Nat Geo Wild series, Fish Tank Kings. Here's the question. What comedy series won the first Emmy Award for Best Comedy Series in 1951? What comedy series won the first ever Emmy Award for Best Comedy Series in 1951? Two big hints. One, it wasn't I Love Lucy, although it was nominated that year. And secondly, it features someone who has become a big star, or became a big star, in the world of comedy variety television. He's well known as not only someone who's a great sketch artist, but also does pantomime, and is considered also one of the great clowns of all time on U.S. television. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and your mailing address, so if you win, we get the prizes out to you. And if we don't get a winner by the end of today, we will post the question tomorrow morning on my Facebook page, Simon Applebaum to be exact, and also on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. That's at UBCSimonTWBT. As we always say around here, if you want to win, play in. And all the very best. And one more thing. If you've already won before, let somebody else do it. Make their day this weekend, okay? Okay. And now it's time for our regular Friday feature, the takeaway of the week, the development that took place this week that we think you ought to take something away from that could impact the future of what you watch or how you use television. And for our takeaway of the week, we have to deal with a little context. We've got to go way back to the mid-1960s. At that time, NBC and Universal Television decided to start a new genre that had never been tried before. The idea of doing original movies, 90-minute, two-hour films, directly for television. It was known at that time as the NBC World Premiere Movie. I believe the first one was called See How They Run. It was a mystery drama. Another one, in those early days, was Fame is the Name of the Game, which turned out to be the pilot for the popular series The Name of the Game, starring Gene Barry, Robert Stack, and Tony Franciosa in rotating roles each week. From there, ABC, thanks to Barry Diller, one of the key executives at the time, launched the movie of the week. Every week, a 90-minute movie made especially for the network. It was that place that gave us such films as The Over the Hill Gang, Something About Amelia, That Certain Summer, and a film that has gone back into the public conversation this week with the death of Gail Sayers, Brian's Song, which later, by the way, got a movie run around the country. And then from there, other people started doing made-for-TV movies. At one point, you had all three major broadcast networks, ABC, CBS, and NBC, all doing world premiere movies at the same time. And there were some great ones, like My Sweet Charlie, there was The Neon Ceiling, a lot of good films all over the place. The Brotherhood of the Bell, great film, one of Glenn Ford's last great performances. A lot of good material, and yes, a lot of clunkers too, but more importantly, a lot of good material. Then, as cable television came of age, you saw HBO, Showtime, Disney Channel, A&E, Lifetime, a lot of networks get into the made-for-TV production game. And of course, you also saw Hallmark Channel dive in with all sorts of Christmas movies. Other networks did too, BET, TV1, Up TV, et cetera, et cetera. Well, somewhere along the way, the made-for-TV movie genre, despite the fact that the networks, the broadcast networks, ultimately exited the field, somehow or other, the Television Academy, the folks behind the Emmy Awards, decided to sort of downplay the genre, to despite the fact they were still making very good movies every year. First, they, in the last few years, they decided, for some reason that they've never explained, to put in episodic episodes of episodic TV series, and make them eligible for that award, Best Made for TV Win. You gotta remember that at one point, the Made for TV Movie Emmy Award was as prestigious as the other major ones in programming, Best Comedy Series, Best Drama Series, and Best Miniseries or Limited Series. It always was at every major Emmy Award on a Sunday night or Monday night on the broadcast networks. But lately that hasn't happened. You saw episodes of television series, most of which did not even qualify as 90-minute or 2-hour made-for-TV movies, get in. There was Sherlock on PBS, it won. Then 3 years ago, of the last 3 years, we've had episodes of the popular Netflix series Black Mirror, win, including the interactive Bandersnatch last year. And then this year, an episode of Dolly Parton's Heartstrings got in. Now again, and I pointed this out before, this is not the fault of Netflix. This is not the fault of the TV series involved. This is the TV Academy, for some reason that they, again, have never explained to the public, to the press, anybody, just, we're going to put episodic TV shows in the hunt. Despite the fact that there's more than enough made-for-TV movies out there that could have contended for the honor. And secondly, as we saw this year, the made-for-TV movie category was not on Sunday night with Jimmy Kimmel and crew in the Staples Center. It was on the night before, FXX Creative Arts Emmy Award. By the way, the winner was Bad Education, the HBO film that we covered on this program through an interview with its writer and producer, Mike Markowski, who I'm sure is one very happy person. That's the made-for-TV movie starring Hugh Jackman and Allison Janney dealing with corruption in Long Island public schools. And I understand that the reaction to the film since it's running on HBO from the Long Island community has been largely very favorable. They felt that it really did do the justice to their situation. Well, I have a hunch that what happened this year is going to be the last time that we're going to see episodic TV shows qualify as made-for-TV movies. And here's why. First, you are seeing more, we are seeing a major splurge of services jump in to the made-for-TV movie-making race. Apple TV+, Disney+, Peacock, HBO Max. They already have a movie out, Unpregnant, which was put together by Greg Berlanti. And also, they've got the new movie, Charm City Kings, the first of what they call the Warner Max movies, original movies made for HBO Max, and that, I believe, is going to be kicking off next week or sometime during October. So you're seeing more and more cases that made-for-TV movies are happening. Hulu is doing them. Netflix, of course, is doing them. Amazon is doing them. Crackle is doing them. They're happening all over the place. So there's no dearth of movies. In fact, there will be much, much more. And now the kicker, and this is where the takeaway of the week comes from. Earlier this week, Viacom CBS inferred that next year, 2021, they will make, get this, 100 made-for-TV movies and spread them out through their collection of largely cable channels. For example, 52 of them will be presented as a movie of the week kind of fashion through what is now called Paramount Network, or will be next year called Paramount Movie Network. They're going to get rid of the unscripted shows. They will cut down on the number of scripted series they do. Yellowstone will still be up, and maybe a couple of others. But the big thing will be movies. As part of that, they will show an original made-for-TV movie every week. Comedy Central is going to get into the made-for-TV movie business, probably 20, 25 movies. MTV is going to do like 15, 20 movies, and then those will be all over the place. And that's not all, because what I think is an incredible development, half of these movies, 100 films that are going to be produced over the next year, will be directed by first-timers, women and people of color, under a new diversity inclusion program that's been set up by Viacom CBS. What's going to happen is that half these movies, as I said, are going to be directed by first-timers. It's called the First Time Initiative. And what will happen is that these directors, who will be doing, in many respects, their first television program, will be working with production companies set up by such people as John Leguizamo, Eva Longoria, Courtney B. Vance, Selma Hayek, etc. So they're going to have great veteran support and great talent behind them. This is a humongous move in diversity on the part of ViacomCBS, and it came out of the blue. You know that ViacomCBS, if you've been listening to our show, they've been looking at a number of different diversity initiatives. One that we talked about was the project with the NAACP. I understand there will be a diversity project associated with the transfer from CBS All Access to Paramount Plus in early 2021, and now this made-for-TV movie initiative. You cannot say how humongous, how monumental this is for a company of ViacomCBS's background and strength to do this. I was very interested to see what happens next Tuesday when we have the founder of Representation Counts, Shereen Harris, on our program and what she has to say about this venture in particular. It's really, really something. So I'm going to make two predictions based on this takeaway of the week. Number one, the made-for-TV movie genre is going to come back in a huge, monumental way next year. It will be the beginning of a new era for made-for-TV movies where they will get the respect of the TV Academy, the respect of the public, and the respect of the industry that they deserve. And I do think, by the way, that I do think also that what ViacomCBS is doing will rub off on Netflix, Hallmark Channel, Lifetime, et cetera, et cetera. I'd love to see them do similar things. That might be really, really super. And secondly, this year will be the last year that you will see the made-for-TV movie category not show up on the primetime Emmy telecast. There is no way in Hades, given all this product, and the product that is going to be presented between now and next September, that the Emmy Awards are going to want to cut that category out of their main broadcast. Oh, one other thing. Speaking of that main broadcast, yesterday I was reading Joe Adelon's wonderful email, which he comes out with every week for Vulture. It's called Buffered. Well, if you haven't gotten it, you ought to. It's a really terrific thing. Joe does a great job at it. I hope we can get him on our show before long. And he had a great idea for the Emmy Awards. On Monday, I talked about the Emmys at length. Basically, I thought that they did a great job technically with the awards this year. The In Memoriam was great, but they have a problem in terms of really celebrating where TV is at and where it's going. And Joe, in his latest issue of Buffering yesterday, had a brilliant idea. It's this. Why limit the exposure of the Emmys to one network, especially when the ratings have gone down, 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 and more people find it a turnoff? For the people who think, well, I can't watch it because I don't watch Netflix, I don't watch Hulu, put the thing on Netflix, put the thing on Hulu, put the thing on Amazon, put the thing on other on cable networks. ViacomCBS is already doing it with the MTV Music Awards. They put that program on MTV, Comedy Central, VH1, BET, and for the first time on broadcast television on the CW. They did this at BET, carried the, it was on CBS. Now, I get that that was because you have the same master here, the same owner. But I think it's an opportunity for the Emmy Award people to diversify their presentation to other places. Why not have a live multiple simulcast? A multiple network simulcast. It would certainly open the door for a bigger audience. And goodness knows that's what the Emmys need right now. They need to stop making this ceremony a turnoff and make it a turn on by emphasizing where TV is at and where it's going. And one way we can do that is put that made for TV movie category, which I'm sure will have a lot of nominees between now and then, back to the main show. I'd like to hear what you think, by the way. What do you think about this takeaway of the week? What do you think about the situation in MTV movies? Love to hear from you. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Please enclose your name and where you're emailing from. Find me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter also. And love to hear what you have to say about both the Emmys and about these takeaway of the weeks that we offer on many a Friday. Okay? Okay. Again, I want to thank Cam Lawrence from Exposure TV Network for joining us. Again, if you want to find out about this very unique service and what they're up to, remember, again, it's available right now on Roku, Amazon Fire TV, and Apple TV. Hopefully it will be on other smart TV devices as well as other smart TV set platforms soon. Go to ExposureTVNetwork.com, ExposureTVNetwork.com. And, again, their Winter Film Festival, first ever, will start with a special event in October, and then it will go full blast in December, 2 months later. So, again, thanks to Tam for being with us. Also, we're sorry that Nancy Jones from Steve on Watch with Steve Harvey on Facebook Watch could be with us today. Emergency came up. Thanks for letting us know about it. And we'll have her on next Friday on our program. Remember, we're coming your way next week with two shows, Tuesday and Friday. We're not going to be on Monday because of Yom Kippur, but we will be with you with a 90-minute episode the following day. And joining us will be from the Smart TV Programming Service with an outdoor venture bank, HTV, President Ian Woods, the founder and overseer of the Diversity Advocate Venture Representation Counts, Sheree Anise. And from the new FinDot Distributed Service on Smart TV Sets and Devices Shorts channel, we'll have the founder and the Chief Executive Officer of the venture from OrPop, Paige Williams. If you came in late on today's program and you want to catch up on episodes you missed, remember we make it very, very easy for you. We invite you to do that. Why not? We have a lot of great guests. We have a lot of great topics on this program, and we'd love you to invite your friends to join in with you. Binge party, if you like. You know what I mean? So go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And remember, we are now in more places on podcasts than ever. This week we started Amazon Music. We're now joining 70,000 other wonderful podcast series and specials on Amazon Music. And again, we thank them for having us join their fold this week. And we hope it's a great relationship. And if you're listening to us on Amazon Music, thank you for doing so. Tell your friends to join us live. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to have you interact with our program when it's live, usually Mondays and Fridays, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, here on Blog Talk Radio Speaker and TuneIn Radio. And remember, you can also hear us in podcast form on Apple TV, iTunes, the Speaker Podcast app, and, of course, irradio.com and TuneIn.com. If you tune us in at both those places and want a quick way to get us, what you got to do is put Tomorrow Will Be Televised in the search bar of either TuneIn site or iHeartRadio site. Then you make the click and you get us, okay? Okay. Remember, we always love hearing from you. We want this to be as interactive a program as possible, especially the way things are going in television with so much stuff happening and so many more things that you can tune in and see as well as watch and use television. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember, that's how you get involved in our Classic Tree Question of the Week. And we have another feature that you also can participate in. It's called A Show to Know. Is there a TV show that you like and you feel, boy, I wish more people learned about it because it doesn't get enough attention? It's not well marketed, promoted, or publicized? Well, we want to give it that attention. And if you let us know and we use your suggestion on the air, you, that's right, you get the credit. And we have to hear from you, so email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. You can also get your thoughts across on Facebook at Simon Applebaum and on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's the UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, however you communicate with us, I always respond within 24 hours. It's always appreciated. Why? Because what you say matters. That's right, what you say matters now more than ever. And one more thing. As I mentioned, we want to wish all of our Jewish listeners a very good Yontif this weekend, Sunday into Monday, with Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And incidentally, check out Yahoo or Google if there are synagogues in your area that are not open for services on Sunday and Monday. Please check out Yahoo and Google for services that may be done virtually in your area. And one more thing, if you're fasting and if for some reason something pops up, especially with the coronavirus, please get tested. Don't wait. If you feel that there's some respiratory issue that you're dealing with, stop what you're doing. Get tested. It could be a lifesaver for you, okay? And please, no matter what, make it a very safe and easy fast. And one more time, love hearing from you. So make the communication happen because, like I said before, what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed here are those of the participants, not only those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Our production associate of Blog Talk Radio is Mandolin. Andy Tell is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonnenberg, head of content. The co-founders of Blog Talk Radio are Al Levy and Bob Charish. Tamale Televised was brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Division. Remember, Audible transformed the way you hear the world. Remember, if you're an Amazon Prime customer, you get 2 books for the trial of one. So for that free 1 or 2 audiobooks, 1 month trial, special health and wellness material, and much more, it's audibletrial.com/televised. Makes a great gift for you or someone you love. For Tamale Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a fantastic weekend. Again, to all of our Jewish listeners, have a good Yontif, a safe and easy fast, and we'll be back with all of you on Tuesday, not Monday, Tuesday, regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, Amazon Music, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Whatever you're up to now and then, please make it safe and make it great, and let's beat this pandemic once and forever. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.